how great is our God. Oh, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Sing it. Oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
Amen. How great is our God, because we exalt him above all names. And I don't know about you, but if you hadn't exalted God lately, I think you need to start doing so. Because God is a great God, and even though sometimes we may not feel like he is, but you know, kind of leads us to the message tonight. But you know, no matter what we deal with, no matter what we go through, no matter what circumstances we face, God is an awesome God, and basically God is worthy of our praise. Praise should continually come from our lips. Praise should continuously come from our hearts. We should be praising God every day in all of the good times and even in all of the bad times. And this is why I was kind of led to this message, even though it was a down-to-the-wire message. Yeah, I was a little busy off and on all throughout the week, you know, because we had a week off for Thanksgiving. And I had a lot of this running to my mind, and I started thinking about worship. You know, we all kind of got the general idea of what worship is all about. You know, when we go to church, we say, well, we went to church and we had worship. But do you really know what worship really means? Have you really given it some real thought what worship is all about? You know, some think, well, you know, when we sing songs, well, that's worship. Well, in a way, it could be. Some say when we say prayers, that's worship. Some say when they hear a message, that's worship. Well, but is it really worship when we say it that way? What is true worship? So I'm kind of covering this, you know, and it was a little rough draft, and I still kind of went through it because I'm still thinking a lot of things. So, you know, hopefully maybe we can get some general idea what worship is all about. But I want y'all to know and think about this. Did you know that the word worship was used over 182 times in the Bible? If you search throughout the whole Bible, you know, some translations may vary, but the one that I use, when you look it up, it's used 182 times in the Bible. And this word is used, and you look at the meaning of the word worship. This word is used in many different ways. But it is commonly used today in many churches today, which only refers to, and get this, it's only referred to the only part of the service where we are singing. Many churches today, when they say we had worship service, it's only referred to the parts where they are only singing. Bet you didn't know that. Well, you might have, but who knows? But see, when we sing songs in our church service, folks, yes, we call it worship. Yet, based on how the Bible uses the word, it would prove that we misunderstand the word. The reality is, you and I can worship God in vain without even realizing it. You get that? We can worship God in vain without even realizing it. Sad fact, but it's true. Now that you know this, ask yourself the question, what are you grateful for? Now, Lisa posts, Thankful Thursday, I think, or something like that. You know, so she tries to get us to ask, you know, what are we thankful for? Well, you know, I'm twisting this a little bit because of the worship, but I really want us to know, what are we really grateful for? So it's kind of the same way, you know, give or take a few, how you use the word. But have you ever thought about it? What are you grateful for? And we've kind of hitting on that a little bit in our conversation in the room about, it seems like so many people today, my wife hit on this last night because of the few that came for the Bible study, you know, and I'm talking about a few because I sent out 97 invitations, three only showed up, three. And my wife even said this, she said, I don't understand this. Why is it seems like no one wants to get together and worship God anymore? Why no one wants to get together in Bible studies anymore? Why no one wants to gather together and learn the word anymore? What is it with them? She said to herself, it seems to me that many people just don't have time for God no more. Oh, they want God. They want Jesus. They want the salvation. They want to get into heaven. And that's cool. We all want that. But to many Christians, that's where it seems to stop. That's all they want. When it comes time for them to worship God, many will, well, God, I'm sorry, but I'm busy. I got a little this to do. I got a little of that to do. Well, I got to take care of this job. I got to do this work. I want to do that. I want to do this. I want to do that. I'll catch you later. We was talking about that, folks. You know, I think, honestly, if God was to give us a glimpse of hell, our tune to worship would change big time. Better yet, I think more so, if God was to give us a glimpse of himself, we would still change our attitude and give him more worship. True worship, not singing hymns in church. Like I said, many people say that's the best part of the church. That's the worship service. Oh, we had great worship service. Man, the song list just went so fine and it was so great and I enjoyed it. And when you ask them about the message, I'm not sure what I understood in the message. Folks, that's not worship. That's why some folks don't give this much thought throughout the day or hardly think of this during the week. And see, the reason I'm saying this, that to some, when life is good, when life is going great, when everything seems hunky-dory, we tend to take basic things for granted. We do. When everything's going your way, we seem to take things for granted. Like having enough food, a safe place to sleep, enjoying good health, people who love us, friends, a house to stay at, a job. You see, folks, we take these things for granted. But we never give this any real thought that our worship must be rooted and tethered to the realities of biblical revelation. God forbid that we should ever sing hearsay. God forbid that. Worship is not meant to be formed by what feels good, but by the light, what is true. Genuine Christ-exalting worship must never be mindless or based in ignorance. It must be doctrinal or doctrine, or it must be biblically grounded. I get tongue-tied when I try to use those fancy words. But it must be biblically grounded and focused on the truth of all that we know of the great triune Trinity of God. To worship inconsistently with what is revealed to us in scriptures ultimately degrades into idolatry. It becomes an idol because we don't know what real worship is. We know what Jesus even told that woman on the Samaritan. There will come a day where all will worship God on the mountain. And I think the woman at the time understood that because, you know, she in her mind thought, you know, when they got in the synagogues, that was worship. But that's not worship. There's going to come a day when all of us is going to be gathered together in one place, and that's where we're going to have true worship, real biblical worship. I would love to see that happen in church, but I don't think it's going to happen while we're here. But one day, all of us who are believers of Christ, who goes on to be with Christ, when the final end comes, everybody's going to be at that one place, in a place of worship, to worship God. Now, true worship, my friends, is God-centered worship. People tend to get caught up in what they should worship. And if you think about it, they do. They get so caught up in what they think they should worship, or how they should worship, or how the services should go. Many churches try to tell their pastors, this is the way we're going to do things. This is how we're going to worship. Many get so caught up in shows and tricks and smoke and lights and this and that. They try to get you to that feel-good music. They try to get you caught up in your feelings. They try to get you going into all kinds of different ways with special words and everything else. And they call that a good worship service. And a lot of times when you're so caught up in the mood, they say, oh, we had a movement of the Holy Spirit. Really? Folks, if we had a real movement of the Holy Spirit, I don't think we would be acting like that. Because they get into the style of what music they should sing in worship, or how worship should look to other people. They focus in on things that really misses the point. And Jesus tells us that true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. This means we worship from the heart in the way that God had designed. Worship can include praying, reading the Word of God with an open heart, singing, participating in communion, and serving others, believe it or not. It is not limited to one act, but is done properly when the heart and the attitude of the person is in the right place. You get that? It's done properly when the heart and the attitude of the person is in the right place. And I will be blunt on this. Not many people in church are truly there to worship. They're playing Sunday Christians, But then when they start thinking about, well, who does she think she is dressed like that? Who do you think he is acting like that? Oh, yeah, look at so-and-so with that hat on. You see what I'm saying? They're not there for real worship. How are they going to ever experience the movement of God when their minds are thinking that? How? But here we go in our reading scriptures for tonight, my friends, which is John chapter 4, verse 23 through 24. And look what it says. And remember, this is involved in the conversation with Jesus had at the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. But this is what he told her, you know, when he and her were in a dialogue. He says, but the hour is coming, and it's now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight. We thank you again for allowing us to gather together here. Father, again, you know, I'm grateful for those who showed up here. You know, we're not trying to impress nobody. I'm not trying to impress nobody. I'm just trying to be a faithful servant, and, you know, and I keep thinking, you know, well, you know, I just don't understand why many people we have here in this room don't want to show up to fellowship, to hear these messages, because I'm not trying to impress them, but you impressed these messages upon my heart for a particular reason. I don't know why. Maybe it is someone here tonight that needs to hear about this, and that's okay, and I am going to try to be faithful for the best of my ability. So I'm not out to try to pat myself on the back. But I sure wish people would reverence you more. I sure wish people would show more awe and odd and say, God, yeah, you know, I'm hungry. I want to sit in on a Bible lesson. I want to sit in on a message. I want to fellowship with other brothers and sisters. I want to talk more about Jesus. And Father, I'm not seeing much of this. It seemed like many are caught up with the distractions of the world. Many just seems like to me, they don't have time for you anymore. Many don't want to say, Lord, I'm busy right now. I'll catch you later. But the moment something goes wrong with their lives, they run to you, they holler for you, they beg for you, they scream to you, they plead with you. But then after those things pass, they're back to their old selves. I don't know, I just don't get it why they don't think true worship should be true worship. It's worship at their convenience. That's what it seems like to me. So, Father, I ask you to bless those who are here tonight. At least they showed up. You know, again, I'm happy to see them because they're here. They could have went done their little thing, too. They could have went, you know, whatever to do, whatever they wanted to do, but they're here. And, Father, I am asking in the name of Jesus, bless them, to be with them. But hopefully, maybe you can start drawing more. Maybe more can start gathering together and fellowship and worship and start talking and lifting each other up. We need that now more than ever. Father, we need it badly. The way things are going in the world, and you know how it's going, but we need to be encouraged. We need to be lifted up. And the only way to do this, we need to gather together and fellowship and talk. We thank you for your love, your generosity, and all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I guess I'm drinking water, but it's not living water. See, this water, I still thirst. But the real water we get, we never thirst. So, folks, here's the question. You've seen the title. The bot says it. What does it mean to worship? Have you really, really, really given this in any great thought? You know, have anybody really asked you, hey, what is real worship? Has anybody ever posed that to you before? I had someone ask me that, I can't remember, but I know they asked me one time. I said, hey, Brother Jim, what is real worship? And I kind of like, hmm. You know, I got to think about that and get back with you. You know, I should have had a good answer for them. Now, my mind was thinking about, oh, we got praise music, nice music. Pastor gives a good message. Then he sends out an invitation. People come to the altar. Some do, some don't. People come to the altar and pray. And you kind of feel the chills and you kind of think, oh, man, we got the movement of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that was good worship. But is that really worship? Is it? You see, we worship God authentically whenever we know Him truly and treasure Him duly. We do. Real authentic worship comes from the heart when we genuinely, truly treasure Him and love Him for all that He is. You see, folks like me, I don't know if you're the same way or not. When I do attend church service, and sometimes, look, I will admit, my mind is not where it should be. The way my mind's thinking, I should not even be in the sanctuary sometimes. I get bad at that. But, you know, we're working on that. But now when I go there, you know, I'm trying to purify my thoughts and my heart, because when I go, I am expecting something to happen. I want to see real worship. I'm talking about true worship. I want to see the real manifestation of the Spirit Himself. Really. Because I think when the Holy Spirit descends and He gathers among a bunch of people, folks, look out. You see, you thought, and you might have maybe experienced something like that once before, but I'm going to tell you right now, that's not real worship. Real worship, I think, to me, is when the Holy Spirit really has manifested Himself with everybody and everybody's in it. And I ain't talking about the singing and everything else. I'm talking about giving God the glory. As the song says, how great is our God. See, we even know in the book of Revelations how all the angels are standing around the throne worshiping and singing songs and hymns. And all of heaven is singing and all of heaven is giving praises. Wouldn't that be wonderful to see that for real in church? You see, the word worship really refers to that valuing, that inner valuing, becoming visible in the world in two basic ways in the New Testament. I know that's a little, why? But bear with me. One is an act of mouth. Acts of praise and repentance in worship service or small group gatherings. The other is acts of love with the body and the hands and the feet, acts of love that show supreme value of God by what we are willing to sacrifice for the good of others. Now think about this. God made His own universe. You think, did He make the universe for us or did He make it for Him? Think about that one. Me personally, God made it because He made it. He made it for us. And when He made it for us, you know, of course He made it for Him. But because we are part of that universe, we get to look at it and go, wow. Wow. See, I don't know if you ever like me. You know, I do like to take a lot of trips to the mountains. And man, look, when you get up there in 6, 7, 8,000 feet in elevation on a good, clear night without a full moon, boy, the stars are numerous. It looks like snow. The first time that we actually saw that, me and my wife, I was blown away. There were so many, I couldn't even count. Wow. But see, God made His own universe, and He built one, just one, of His planets with an atmosphere that could sustain life, where He placed humans and gave them everything they would ever need. That's awesome. And then in spite of all of our faults, and we mentioned that a little bit earlier today, and in spite of all of our faults and failings, in fact, because of them, You ready for this? Because of those faults, he still invited us to join his family, adopting us as daughters and sons. Wow. Even in the midst of our sinful state, God still sent the invitation, and he still adopted us as daughters and sons. Folks, that should be the reason enough to worship him. He could have said, you know what? Y'all are all wicked. Y'all are all vile. You are disgusted. I don't want you. You're dead. Therefore, you're condemned, and that's it. But no, that ain't what he did. In the midst of our sinful state, he still adopted us. That's awesome. That should be enough to worship right there. Well, how about this? You want another reason to worship him? Let's take a look at what 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says. Look at those words carefully. And it says this: you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Wow. He called you out of darkness, my friends, into light. Let there be light. And when you think about it, folks, really, the word worship means to express honor to God through an extravagant respect, reverence, and devotion. That's what worship is all about. What are you grateful for? When life is good, we tend to think or take things for granted. Like I said earlier, whenever we always have enough food, whenever we have a place to sleep, we enjoy good health and people who love us and family and so on and so on and so on. What are you grateful for, even after knowing what I have told you so far? But you know, research has shown that being intentional to count our blessings really makes our lives better. Sad to say it that way, but really a lot of people focus just more on their blessings in order to make them feel good about themselves, but still never worship God. Wow. Maybe you already practice gratitude. Who knows? But did you also reflect on where your good things come from? Do you actually honestly can say to yourself, and I'm not actually going to post any answers in the room. If I was really speaking this in a live church, I would ask for a raise of hands. But you don't even have to do that if you don't want to be embarrassed. But do you reflect where your good things come from? Do you? I think half the time we don't. We really don't. See, the Apostle Paul himself, he even reminded his friend Timothy. And he said to Timothy, that, look, God gives us all that we need for our enjoyment. We shouldn't be so worried about acquiring things. We shouldn't worry about acquisitions. God already gives us enough for enjoyment. But we're always chasing the bigger and better things. More of this, more money, more things, more cars, more houses, more power, more this, more that, more this, this. Because if I get those things, I'm really going to be happy. But are you? But yeah, a lot of people think, well, those things are my things. Well, no, those things ain't your things because those things belong to God. God is the one that's allowing you to have it. How you handle and deal with it or what you do with it, that's a totally different question. That's a totally different message. So what can we do to respond to this truth? What can we do? Well, I think Psalms chapter 29, verse 2 puts it better this way. Look what it says, folks, and I love this. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. You see, we're chasing all these materialistic things. We're worshiping those things. And those things at time can become your idols. And we tend to put God on the side. We tend to put God on the shelf because we worship things. But yet the word tells us to ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. I think if a lot of us was to step into a little bit of that holiness, we would just be blown away. See, we don't understand what true holiness really is. We don't. We don't have a clue. I've been at this for 18 years. Some might be here that might have been at it long. Some of you might just be getting into it. But let me tell you one thing right now. None of us knows what true holiness is all about. And we're forgetting that. And we're missing that mark. Because we're too busy worshiping other things. You see, folks, that's why I said this. In spite of all our faults, in spite of all our wrongs, in spite of who we are, God is still sending out the invitation to adopt us. Even though he's telling us to ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name, he's still sending out that invitation. See, that's the reason enough for us to celebrate him of all things. So with this, I hope that I can help you understand three practical ways that we can worship God. Three ways, I think, and you could probably throw a lot more into that, but I'm just hitting on three. I think what, just me personally, I mean, it's just what I kind of thought about it. Here's three ways that I think we can worship God. The first way is sing praises. And I know you could probably think of a lot of scriptures about singing praises. Praises should be consistently on our lips and on our hearts and on our minds. But we should be singing praises because God has allowed us to live for today. We're here today. Many of my friends that I know are not here. Many I do know may not be here tomorrow or tonight. You and I may not even make it tonight. So why ain't we singing praises? But yet we focus on the world. We focus on the negative. We focus on bad things. We focus on us being down. We focus on our troubles and this and everything else. What I've been trying to tell my lovely wife, quit focusing on those things. Focus on him. Sing praise. Lisa even reminded me a couple weeks ago, you know, do we actually ask God every day, what are we thankful for? And start thinking that. And start thinking, when you wake up, what are you thankful for today? It starts to change your thinking process. Because then you start to examine the things of God and less of self. But when I say sing praise, here's a good example. Here's an example in scriptures. Look what Psalms 95 verse 1 says. And that's a great one there, folks. Look what it says. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Now, someone said, you know, as much as we know what Jesus is all about and what he has done for us, why are we not proclaiming Jesus as much as we should? Why are we not running to the rooftops and shouting Jesus to everybody? Why are we not telling everybody about Jesus that we are encountering? Why are we not even praising him and worshiping him as he is, knowing that what he had done for us on the cross? Why are we not doing that? I can tell you why. Many are so caught up in the Facebook world, YouTube videos, nonsense stories, junk on television, junk in this world, self, nonsense, bickering, arguing, and the list can go on and on and on and on and on. So why are we not singing to him? Why are we not singing with a gladness in our heart? Why? We lost the real meaning of what it means to be holy, but we lost the real meaning of what it means to worship him. That's why. And we allowed those other things to get into our minds. And we are allowing those other things to take our focus. We are allowing those things to creep in. And we're not taking them captive. Folks, you've been hearing me saying a lot in the last several months. And look, and I don't condemn nobody, you know, hey, that's not my place. But we need to stop with all this stupid nonsense that's been going on social media. And you need to start worshiping God as it's meant to be. And your tune will change. We should be singing consistently to him. I don't know about you, but how many songs can you sing to him right now? How many songs do you know that you can sing to him? Well, you're in for a real treat because you can find, thank you, dear, she's honest. She's honest. I admire that. But you know, you can find thousands of songs that will help you give glory to God. I'm one of them. I listen to a lot of songs. You know my, how would be the better word, my song plate or whatever you call it, my song taste. I like a lot of music. Not all, but I do. But I have a vast collection that whenever I want to spend a little long time between me and God, yeah, I go sit in quiet places. I get his word and read it. But I also load up some songs so I can worship him in my own private little place. And you can find thousands and thousands of songs to give glory to God. And whatever your taste in music is, look, folks, it's a safe bet that talented artists have created worship in that style. There are some out there that's a little too far borderline what I call fleshly. I'm not going to knock people down for listening to that kind of type Christian music, but you know, a lot of the Christian music out there is borderline flesh. That's not real worship music. That's still worldly beats. But we should be consistently singing praises to the Lord. So the challenge for you, and knowing this of singing praises, the challenge I issue to you, look for worship, praise, and use Christian music on any streaming services. Because, to be honest, it's worth investing some time to explore. I fell in a trap sometimes when I go to look for some streaming Christian stuff. And I see some movies, so let me watch this movie. Then they start doing a little blank, 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 you know, and I should immediately turn it off. But half time, I find myself caught in trap. I continue to watch it, but I should be turning it off right away. I'm working on that, too. I challenge you to look for worship and praise, your praise. And if you want to listen to music when doing so, that's cool. Knock yourself out. Or look for streaming services because there are great programs out there. There are great podcasts out there. There are great messages out there because, frankly, I listen to a lot of. And, folks, let me tell you, listening to them, it exhausts me. It really does. That's one challenge. The second way I believe that we can actually worship God in a good way thank him in prayer. As I mentioned earlier, how often are we thanking God? How often are we grateful for God? Are we doing it consistently or once or twice a day? But look what David says in Psalms chapter 9, verse 1, and this should give us the prime example. Look what he says. I give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Not a half, not three-quarter, not a quarter, not an eighth, not 5/16 or whatever. My whole heart. I recount all your wonderful deeds. Can we honestly say to ourselves, do we do the same? Do we? I don't. When I got to this part of this message, I'm like, man, I can honestly say I don't. I had to think on this one for a while. Man. You see, you remember when Jesus, he was teaching his disciples to pray? Look what he said. He told them to start like this. And y'all should know the Lord's Prayer. I hope you do. When it says, Our Father in heaven, that's how he started it all. He didn't say, worship me. Worship the ground. He didn't say, well, thank you for giving me this food to eat tonight. Thank you for God allowing me to have this bed. No. He instructed them to start your prayer off like this. Our Father, meaning all of ours. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. And on and on. And that's wonderful when you look at that. That's real thanks. Because that's how we should be thanking God in our prayers. Not the moment that you might wake up, oh, God, give me a car today, or give me some gas, or God, can you give me this, and I need some money for this, and I need that, and I need some of this, and can you help me get through this? But see, I was praying like that too. Wow. That's got to be changed. So then I thank him. And I start off, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then I thank him. Thank you, God, for allowing me to hear the alarm clock and to put my feet on the floor. I thank him for his wonderful works, his ways. I thank him for who he is. And I'm still improving on it. But you know, that got me to realize I was not thanking him enough in prayer. See, she's correct on this statement here. Always asking without praising and thanking is the wrong way to pray. When you pray just like I just told you how I was praying, that's selfish ways. That's self. We should be thanking God for his will to be done. See, don't get me wrong, please. I don't want you to get mad or give me a frowny face and sit there behind your computer screen. Me. I don't like what Brother Jimbo's starting to say now. And if I was in church, I could probably see a few frowns or eyebrows going up because I'm making this statement. But please, don't get me wrong. It's fine. It's okay to ask God for things. It's okay. It really is. But real relationship includes both take and give. Woo! Whoa, what did you just say? Whoa, you didn't go there. The fact remains, folks, real relationship includes both take and give. We take, we must be willing to give. Put that on your noggin and think about that for a bit. It works both ways. You can't ask, give, and take it from him without giving back. It's being greedy, self-centered, and selfish. If you're willing to take from God, you better be willing to give back. And if you don't start giving back in an honest way, in a sincere way, and all that stuff, guess what? God's going to deal with you. One way or the other, he's going to deal with you. I learned that lesson myself. But you think, okay, Jim, but what do we have to offer to God? What do we have to offer? God, I don't have nothing to offer you. Well, you want to think about this? Think about it. You got a lot to offer him. A lot. But the best thing, I think, the way we can give our offerings to him would be in honor, respect, and gratitude. I think that should be the top three importance in your life of what you should offer God. I think you should offer that to God. That should be your number three priorities in life to God. God, I will give you my honor. I will give you my respect and my gratitude. Start doing that each morning. Remember that. Write that down. If you can't remember this, listen to this video again later. But write this down. Post it somewhere and say, God, here's where it's going to be. I will honor you. I will respect you and quit with less of the other things. And I will be grateful with gratitude. So the challenge in this part for you on that, I issued you the first challenge. Here's the second one. Here's the second challenge for you. At least once a day for the next week. And I want y'all to do this every day. Don't sit there and nod your head and listen and say, okay, yeah, Jimbo, I'll do that. No, I'm challenging you folks. I want to know if you're doing it or not. So that's up to you. That's between you and God. But I will challenge you at least once a day, all the way for the next week, do this. Go to God in prayer and thank him for something that he's done for you. Are you ready for this? Let me say it real slow. One day, each day, all for next week, go to God in prayer and thank him for something that he has done for you without you asking him for anything. Can you do that? Go to God, thank him every day for something that he has done for you without you asking him for it. That's a challenge, folks. That's a real challenge. Thank God for what he has done for you without you asking for him or asking for anything. That mine's hard to do that, but do it. I challenge you to do that. If you want to tell me your results after a week, that's fine. You can speak to me personally. I started doing that long ago. I've been thanking God a lot lately without asking him for anything. And folks, I've been seeing some real, real wonderful results because of that. A lot of times in my wasteful prayer, I beg, ask, need, give. I want. And I was not really worshiping God as I thought. So this time I started praying to God. I've been thanking God for everything that he has done, and I had not been asking for nothing. Now, I do ask for the blood to cover the doorposts of my mind. I do ask for the blood to cover my body. I do ask for the spiritual armor. I do ask for those things. I do ask for people to come to repentance. I do ask for the protection of Israel. I do ask that sinners come to Christ. I do pray for my family members to come to repentance. I do ask for those things. Every now and then I ask for help, financially, physically, whatever, yeah. But lately, I have not been focused on that anymore. I have not been asking. I've just been giving him thanks. And I've been seeing some wonderful things that has opened my eyes. Do that every day for 1 week. And I challenge you, you know what? After that week, don't even stop there. Keep going. You will see some amazing things. So the third way, I know we're running a little late. The third way to worship God, and to me, this is the best way. I don't know if you're going to think about it after I say it. The third way to worship God, share your story. Share your story to someone. Even if they don't want to listen to it, if they don't want to get nothing out of it, that's fine, but share. Don't keep it to yourself. What Jesus gave us is not meant for us to keep. It's meant for somebody else. How do I know this? Look what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says. And look at that carefully. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. You see, folks, when you see that passage right there, what the author or the writer of Hebrews, what he's trying to tell us, basically what he's saying right there in a nutshell, he encourages us to honor God by proclaiming, you get this, by proclaiming our allegiance to his name. That's what he's trying to tell us right there. He is telling us that we need to honor God by proclaiming our allegiance to him and to his name. And folks, God is always working good for the people who love him. Always. Now, isn't that thrilling? To know that God chose you for a specific purpose in his kingdom? Isn't it? I hope you think about that one. Are you actively spreading the word about God's goodness? Are you? Or are you spreading something else? Third challenge. You got three challenges. If you don't know what all the challenges is, DM me. I will type them for you so you can write it down and meditate on them. But your third challenge this week. Anytime that you are talking with friends, watch for natural opportunities to share some of what God is doing in your life. Anytime that you're talking with friends, share natural opportunities or watch for the natural opportunities to share some of what God is doing in your life. I've been working on that every day. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. I hope you got something out of this, to be honest. When I got to this point, you know, I mean, I'm thinking, Lord, could I have done this a little better? Could I have worded it, phrased it, threw more into this? And I was trying to back away because, you know, one of my friends was picking at me today. Well, hey, you got any scriptures for today? Or, yeah. I've been kind of busy, you know, but this message here is the first time I ever come down to the wire. It has happened to me a few times. And I was at this point like, how do I summarize all what I just said? When I can still go on and on and on and on and on and do these scriptures line up to what I'm saying. And here's what I came up with today. This is fresh, hot off the press, so to speak. When I was thinking about worship and all that was said, and all that I read and studied and looked and reviewed, and here's what I concluded, folks. Let me wet my whistle. Here's what I concluded about worship. True worship is not confined to what we do in church or open praise. Now, although these things are good, they are, please, don't take me wrong, they're good, but that's not what true worship is really boiling down to. And we are told in the Bible to do those things, to be gathering together. Do not forsake the assembly of the saints. Do not forsake open praises. And the Bible tells us these things. And there's nothing wrong with it, but that's not true worship. True worship, if you can recall what I said earlier, true worship is spiritual. Ooh, what? Really? What did Jesus tell that Samaritan woman? Can anybody recall that real quick? We ought to worship God in what? Spirit and truth. True worship is spiritual. It goes beyond just intelligence, intellects, and emotions. It goes way beyond that. God is spirit. So our worship must involve our spirit, the inmost part of our being, as we are led by the Holy Spirit of God. True worship is acknowledgement of God and all his power and glory in everything we do. The highest form of praise and worship is obedience to him and his word. And folks, when you start to see it like that, when we begin to worship and acknowledge God and his rule in our lives and in the world, our human soul begins to be restored. We're surrendering our lives to him, and we're inviting him to restore his rule in our lives and in the world around us. And as a result of the fall, unfortunately, mankind lost the relationship with the Heavenly Father. Though the work of Jesus on the cross, God begins the restoration process in our lives. When we enter into biblical worship, we are coming under God's rule, his plan, and his ways. Let me repeat this. When we are entering into true biblical worship, we are coming under his rule, his plan, his ways. Not what we think, not how we should act, or not what we should do. It should be his ways. The call to worship, my friends, I issue this to you tonight. Those online listener who listens to this message, I issue this to you now. The call to worship is this. Let's offer our bodies as a living sacrifice before the Lord. Let us enter into the Holy of the Holies. Let his presence fill your heart. Let his glory transform your soul. Let his power manifest in your life. To do this, in order to do this, we must know God. We cannot be ignorant of him. Worship is to glorify and exalt God, to show our loyalty and admiration to the Father. Amen. Let's pray.